Hey everybody, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Bussellary here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. DJ Impact is stuck somewhere between the middle of LA and Vegas. Apparently he lost his fuzzy white slippers. They fell out of his minivan as he was driving back from the City of Angels to Sin City. We believe he might be stuck at the Alien Jerky Shop there in Baker. So,
why can't he do a Travis one where he's just talking all distorted?
Because you know, sometimes when you go to stop to jerky, you have to you know, concentrate.
Especially when there are aliens involved. I mean,
right?
Exactly. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is a layered jerking joke.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah. Jerking on top of jerking.
Okay. Right. I mean, did he season his jerk?
Well, here's the thing. He hasn't been layered in years, so he needs to do the jerk as much as possible.
Oh wow.
I'm sure he's gonna love the first 10 seconds of this show.
he talks to his side. We work at some of the same places he goes. When you guys talk about jerking it instead of wrestling, that's a bit of a distraction for me. I'm like, well, jerking it usually is a distraction.
Yeah.
But wrestling.
Well, yeah. You know, so, let's get to, what was sweet this week, other than, you know, jerking it. All right, Steve, 20 minutes on AEW. Go ahead.
Hey man, so the this was the post Wrestle Dream edition of Dynamite, and it kicked off with a video package showing Moxley putting Danielson to sleep, the Yuta heel turn, and attempting to suffocate Danielson with the plastic bag. I have to say, too sweet to Moxley for his promo delivery. It has been fucking great, especially with this new persona.
You
this continued
the,
on Collision.
Triple Mox persona?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You know, it continued through to Collision. They ran another vignette type of a promo, and they're doing these very dark, and they have a layered music that they have in the background, and it just works. It sets the scene. It's very atmospheric without being over the top, and it like I said, it just fucking works, and it's having me ask questions, and I'm wondering where this character direction is going to go, and I want to see what's going to happen next. Elsewhere,
are you questioning your sexuality over John Moxley?
No, I am not.
Okay, you're
no, I'm
you're
not.
Asking questions. Okay, just checking.
No, not those kind of questions. Trust me.
Well, you said it was he was too sweet, so.
Well, there you go. Happens to the best of them.
You didn't jerk yet.
No, I didn't actually. Surprisingly. But I do have to also say that they are also building up the Don Callis family. If you look at what they've been doing, we had talked about a while back how this group should be this major group of heels, and they've gone and they've put the International Championship on Konosuke Takeshita. They put the Ring of Honor TV title, you know, TV title for a show that's not on TV, to Brian Cage. They just turned Kyle Fletcher heel. And obviously he's going to be working Ospreay. They're pushing Lance Archer as a monster again, even if he looks like Drew McIntyre from Wish. I've said that they needed to do this shit for a while and have Callis do what he does extremely well and be the mouthpiece for these guys. And lastly, Shelton Benjamin is just so fucking good. Too sweet to that guy. He's 49 years old. And he went out there on Dynamite, looked like a wrestler 10 years younger. And he has the perfect mix of agility, strength, experience. He could definitely carve out a major career chapter in AEW.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't argue with that.
Glad he's taking it away from someone who's 10 years younger. But yeah, that's all his, you know, that's good for him. Hey, good.
Cream rises to the top, man.
That's right. And if it wasn't for Charlie Haas, he would not be here. And that goes for Russ Hastein.
Wow. So
Russ never
died.
He goes with Shelton. And Shelton
hold on. He pulled Charlie Haas figures out of the closet and blew the dust off them.
Yeah, well, you know, speaking of blowing, Rob, what'd you find?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Lash Legend and Jakar Jackson. Lash Legend put on a great a match against Damage Control. And, she cost the match for Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. We're seeing Lash Legend join the main roster, I'm going to say. And that's what's really impressive now. They're doing a great job. I'm liking what I'm seeing with Bron Breakker. There was a lot of packages on Monday Night Raw, and we're seeing a lot more from Bron Breakker. Alpha Academy, they ate it, but American Made are looking really good. And then we get the War Raiders, a more polished, less hokey.
You mean the Viking Raiders?
Now they're
the Viking War Experience.
Yeah, they're now the War Raiders, and they looked good. They looked good. You mentioned over on AEW Country, Shelton Benjamin. Let's not forget that that match would not have happened if Leo Rush didn't sell immensely well. Leo Rush is the master of evasion. The moves that he's doing in the ring are incredible, and he really made that match what it was. It wasn't a squash match. Okay, it wasn't a quick three count. The BCC wasting the conglomeration and the rest of the locker room and the Elite doing nothing. That was sweet because now they're calling the Elite on their bullshit. They don't look that elite anymore because eventually they have to do something now. They have to show that they're elite, but they're not.
And I swear to God, though, if this means that they turn babyface and they have to save the company, I'm fucking done with it. I will have to say that they can't turn babyface and be the saviors of AEW. They can't do that.
No, they should just be chicken shits.
Yes,
they should do the whole thing. Stay the fuck away from it. You're chicken shit. It doesn't involve you. Go ahead, do what you want. But you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Listen, well, we saw this in 1990, fucking 7, 98, 99, and basically. Those assholes are going to meet with Moxley's assholes. They're going to come together. Tony Khan's going to be revealed to be the guy behind it. He's going to come out in a leather jacket. He's going to challenge Vince McMahon to a fight. And it's going to be,
Cancel City. Mox World Order.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm also liking, before we go, I like what I'm seeing with Jimmy Uso. I like the scene where he's sitting in Heyman's spot. And he goes, oh, that's a Paul set. And
Roman's reaction to that of when he just looks at his shoulder and like,
what the hell are you doing? Fuck, dude? That's what Paul said, man. Come on, Noose. It was really good. The acting is really good. It's funny. We see it, and I'm gonna bring up something later that I called, and you guys said it's gonna be Cody. No, I called it, and we know who the four people are gonna be, but we'll save that for later.
Okay, nice tease. You mentioned it. The promos, bronze package that they ran. Yeah, exactly. Definitely jerky. You keep saying, oh, they should just call him Steiner. They addressed it.
Yeah.
I don't need the fucking name Steiner.
He's done that a couple of times now where he said, I don't need the name, and I'll be more famous than they were.
And I'll tell you right now, it makes sense because here's the problem. You, as probably many other guys who are between the ages of 35 and 55, know what and who a Steiner is, right? The problem is that this new audience of young people who probably don't have parents who watch pro wrestling don't know what a Steiner is. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't make sense to have a last name like that in that regard. If it was closer it doesn't work. So that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's it. It's just like, and then address it. But man, that Dragon League package was good. Then on SmackDown, you had KO doing the video about, again, teasing the fucking marks. about how, I don't know, I might never work in this company again. It's fucking smart. They're using smart shit, and they're using the video right. TNA is doing the same thing. You had a great video package with Rosemary and Wendy Chu, who the tag team I never knew we needed. They're fucking phenomenal. Wendy Chu doesn't have to speak. Rosemary is psychotic. And they're playing with the cinematic aspects of kind of the horror aspect with fucking with the tag champs over there. That's brilliant. And something we've never seen in these terms. Is it possible to have them win the tag titles and have an NXT member and a TNA member hold a championship together?
Oh,
now, we've never seen a company be able to do that, even back in the territory days when they did super shows. So that's new ground and would be very,
they've danced on it with Mox having the NJPW, you know,
who the bells fuck and is all. NJPW though? That's the thing. That's
no, I understand what you're coming from, because this is WWE spreading the love. This is
AEW could have done it with TNA. When they were doing their shit with Impact.
They did it one-sided. They did it very one-sided. The only thing they did was bring over the Good Brothers as like heavies, as just like henchmen. That was the only thing they did.
And I don't even remember, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't remember any of that stuff except for Kenny Omega's, you know, own jerk-off show about that stuff. They also, TNA had a great match to open a show with PCO and Rhino. Put two monsters like that together, just fabulous. Main event, Nick Namath in a non-title match against Cardona, and PCO came out to distract him, so Nick rolled him up for the win, or, you know, hit the finisher for the win, and then PCO takes Cardona to the back. So before Bound for Glory, he's just kidnapped him, which is interesting. And then Kaz comes out, attacks Nick. Hendry comes out, makes the save, and then we find out Kazarian is the special guest referee at Bound for Glory for that match. So there's good stuff going there. Nikita Lyons is finally back, and the main event on NXT, Ethan versus Wes versus Javon. Ethan Page wins number one contendership. It was a great match. Stephanie Bakur is put her on my absolutely. TV.
I'm running out of time to watch these shows, and I'm backlogged on TNA, and you're telling me stuff that I want to see. TNA is better than a lot of the shit that comes out of Raw, SmackDown, Dynamite, or any of these other shows sometimes.
But, you know, again, one thing I noticed that's very TNA and NXT right now have a lot of the same feel to the show. The two-hour show packs in a lot in a small period of time, to where those 2 hours, it feels like there's so much show going on. It feels like you've seen all this stuff, and yet it's only 2 hours. So it's
or TNA, that's a testament also to how they edit the show, because if you go to a TNA show, it's not linear to what you witness going to it. They cut it up and they do a great job making, you know, out of 2 days, they make a month's worth of shows. And it's not the way you saw
it. Super efficient.
Yeah.
And these particular shows were the shows that got moved back to the Impact Zone or whatever the hell, you know, that space in Nashville is, because of the hurricane. So this was a very quiet, very dark, very intimate. There are probably only a couple hundred people, if that, just because it was just forced TV tapings to get the stories in. So,
you know what the funny thing about that is? I used to mind when I'd watch an NXT show with only 200 people, but then I didn't care at all when I would see a 200 room TNA show. I expected it, and it didn't take away from the enjoyment of hearing a smaller crowd. Then I would watch the same thing on NXT and go, this sucks. And I think that's because WWE spoiled me to that, to just assuming I need 16,000 people, that my mind cannot accept that this is a WWE product trying to give that feel of an indie show. I was a bit jaded about, like, how dare you try to make your own indie show? It's kind of fake. But then they did it right by integrating in TNA, and it's catching my attention.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. The whole thing is that the product has changed. So, and it's changed again. You know, it's funny, for all these people out there who might be AEW fans, and oh, that fucking NXT, so the gold and black, that was so good. And then, oh, they put all these colors. And what do you see before you get back to that last segment of that nerd show, that Big Bang Theory show? What do you see? A promo for AEW Dynamite, where the AEW Dynamite logo is in the goddamn splash fucking tropical colors, just like NXT used.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, at this point, it's just like everyone wants to bitch about everything.
It's a circle jerk. Exactly. It's a circle jerk.
Or a circle jerky.
Yeah.
All right, give some love, Rob.
You know what? I'm watching these matches with Queen Aminata, and she loses way too damn much. She's very good in the ring. She has a great pop from the audience when she comes out. She needs to win some damn matches. She needs to get the TBS belt. We need to do something where we give her a run. Give her a run, you know, strap a rocket to her, have her cut some promos. If she wants to say she's from Africa, her name is Queen Aminata. She's a queen. Okay, great. And then the other one, Jersey's Finest. What the hell happened to Deonna Purrazzo? She cut that promo and we never saw her again.
Right.
She's good. She's good. Is she the super hot blood? No, fine. Fine. She doesn't have to be. She needs to be good in the ring. She can't be the best at TNA and not exist in AEW. Or put her in Ring of Honor and find
some... Wait. You mean Taya Valkyrie? Are we talking about Taya Valkyrie?
Her too. Taya Valkyrie, but both of them. Taya Valkyrie...
Same thing.
Right. Taya Valkyrie was good on TNA. The audience was behind her. She could gain 50 pounds and still be fucking great. She could bulk up and be six-pack abs and be great. It didn't matter. She was entertaining. And I don't understand how they can't figure out a package for her or do some of that same momentum. I never liked that she was Frankie Monet on NXT. That shit was stupid. But do something with her. You cut a promo for them. You said they got screwed over and they've been overlooked. And then you overlook them again. That's almost a what the fuck, but yeah.
All right, Steve, who do you got where's the love for?
Well, first off, I have to say, where's the love to you, Matt Michaels, for not making an AEW attendance joke based on discussing hundreds of people in the audience. So you've at least have a little bit of growth in that. So thank you. Where's the love for that? Anyway,
I assume that AEW's numbers will be like a New York Giants game. Low.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, pretty much, man. There's no hope for those guys. But I genuinely have to know.
It's actually like the Mets. They just stay home for the rest of the winter.
Pretty much.
Not my Yankees.
Nope, not the Yankees. But I gotta know, like, where's the love for the fucking Acclaimed? In the not too distant past, these guys were your most over act in your company. They had your highest merch sales in the company. You designed belts specifically for them.
They're wrestling gay guys now.
And then they lost all steam, seemingly over fucking night. The thing that really does give me some cause for hope, they are teasing an alignment with MVP. Yes, please do this.
Wait, Steve, was it an alignment? Put them with MVP. Was it an alignment or was it a breakup? Because you had one who said no fucking way, and the other who puts the card in the pocket.
Which I'm all for. Like, seriously, if they're gonna split them up, that's fine. But feature these guys more prominently on your show. He gets sunsetted off. Let the Guns, if they want to, let Colton and Austin retire their dad, or you can have the Acclaimed retire him and want a hell of a heel turn, or whoever breaks away from the Acclaimed, have that person take out Billy Gunn. That way they can put that on their resume. They can use that as something to get them over.
Or Billy Gunn just gets in the corner of his kids and joins them.
Go back to that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever works. But I mean, realistically, at the end of the day, I have to know where the love is for these guys in the Acclaimed. You know, Max Caster, he loves using the hyperbole of calling himself the best wrestler alive. I don't know about that, but they are very good in the ring and should be more prominently featured than what they have been.
They had that mini feud with MXM, and I didn't know if that was going to be a long-term thing because of the jacket and the whole thing. I don't know. I don't know what they – you don't start that and then, you know, blue ball the crowd on that. Do something with that. Have it, you know.
It's all put them in the fucking Hurt Syndicate.
See, and I got a feeling, if you're teasing it and you do a breakup, that actually wouldn't be a bad idea. But the thing I have a problem with the Hurt Syndicate is, are we just going to go to every black wrestler? I mean, everyone. I mean, this is just like, is it the Street Profits next? Private Party.
No, they already turned him down.
Yeah, they turned him down.
You know, and so it's just like, just fucking get to Lashley at this point.
Yeah, full gear, bro. Full gear.
You know what I want to see now? I want this to be the most stereotypical shit possible. I want them to get Anna Jade to be their valet. I just want her to come in with like blonde hair. They just do the stereotypical thing, like a white girl comes out, says, "Hey, daddy," just go full blast with it. You know, if you're going to be this blatantly lazy and or racist, just go, "Ha, my name is MVP. Do you happen to be a black wrestler?"
Jesus.
Well, you know, speaking of that, you said it, we got a queen. Why does the queen not have the prince managing her?
Or Stokely Hathaway even. Why is Stokely Hathaway chasing after the faces that we already know? And then not doing anything with them and blowing it. Like, it's
They got the same fucking manager and two guys. Look at that. They have two of the same fucking. No one uses managers in wrestling anymore. And you have two of the exact same. And now you've got MVP. So they have three black managers, which is interesting in itself.
Oh, no, wait a minute. We're not going to have to hear about this in February, are we? AEW would like to honor the accomplishments of our many black managers. And then they'll just have like the dancing. Like slow motion Prince Nana dancing. And then they'll like fade to gray. You know, like just. Then they'll have like a black candle, a red candle, a green candle, and like a picture of Martin Luther King. I mean, let's just. Because Tony Khan will go there. Because remember when they did Pride Month and they had Anthony Bowens on there and he's like, "Hey, my name is Anthony Bowens and I happen to be gay. So I'm gay and I'm a wrestler and AEW gay." It's like, oh, we're pandering now, are we? Okay.
Yeah, Sonny Kiss, you're fired.
yeah.
All right.
Talk about getting fucked in the ass.
I don't know. I don't think we should talk about it, but we can probably say what the fuck. Steve, what the fuck?
You know, I wanted to see how Adam Cole looked in the ring. I even stated that last week, but at the end of the day, I didn't think that I would have to worry about his promo abilities or how his promos would be received. Promo rust, but this promo just did not hit. it did not hit. And, you know, the crowd didn't react well to it. Something was off, without a doubt. Realistically, all that Cole had to do was just to say how we all saw how big of a piece of shit MJF was and that he had to fight evil with evil. Something like that, you know? Let's just get this program going and just please just get on. But for now, what the fuck? And then, so, okay, you put Jay White over Hangman Page at the pay-per-view, who just prior had beaten your former world champion in a steel cage match, all sorts of fucking craziness, it all out. Then the very next pay-per-view, you have Jay White, who's returning from injury, beat Hangman Page. And then on Dynamite this week, you book Jay White to lose a nothing match against Christian Cage. Yeah, I get that you're trying to keep Christian relevant because he has the contract, but come on, to have him wrestle and beat Jay White after seemingly, you know, heating Jay White back up, what the fuck? It makes no sense. And then lastly, this trios division. This trios division has been dead for a while. And
oh, what was that? I forgot about them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but if you watch Dynamite, it was like, oh my God, let's just push the button for the trios division and magically spawn three new contenders for the trios championships. Because you have Private Party and Daniel Garcia aligning. Top Flight and the Dark Order were prominently featured on the show after not, you know, doing shit other than being on Rampage, jobbing to the stars.
Well, hold on a second. You had a Matt Michaels moment. You just stopped moving.
Really?
Yeah, you had a
no Matt shit. Michael. Holy shit.
Yeah,
I didn't see it.
Well, in any event, Top Flight, Dark Order, prominently featured after not doing shit, not having any credibility. The problem is that these teams have to have some credibility instead of just trotting them out there each week to get rocked by Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta. What the fuck?
Well, it was nice to see that they replaced Evil Uno with King Kong Bundy. Just throw on the mask onto some fat dude, because what the fuck, man? Talk about out of shape.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Speaking of what the fuck, I'll go further with the idea of that promo. What was the whole thing that AEW fans said about it? WWE? They open every fucking show with 20 minutes of promos. Just talking. 20 non-stop interrupted minutes of talking was what opened that fucking show. And it wasn't good. That's the key there. This MJF thing makes no fucking sense at all. The fans are clearly, you made him a face and now are trying to force him into a heel, but you can't do that with someone like Adam Cole, because Adam Cole, listen, you want to talk about overrated dudes? That motherfucker is overrated. All right. He shined in NXT because they knew how to protect those guys. That's what writing teams do and bookers who are good can do, right? The problem with him is he's exposed because of the fact that the honest answer is he's a good in-ring performer, but he's very injury prone. He sat out a year. You don't just pop him back in. Why?
Right. But he looks worse than Fragile Phil. Like, you're gone for your year and you still come back looking like a pipe cleaner. You know, I look like put on more muscle at the end of one day in the gym than that guy. It shouldn't be. I'm not saying the guy has to rock the roids, but like fucking they told CM Punk, you got to tone up a little bit. It can't be, you know, bad. But this guy looks like
he looks like? He looks like a manager. Oh, who wanted to use him as a manager on the main roster? Oh, that's right. I wonder why. Because he looks like a fucking manager. Jesus Christ. I mean, it makes sense. That stuff. The Moxley stuff, I like to term it NW blow, because it really fucking, it just sucks. Listen,
you don't like the wife beaters?
No, no. You know what I don't like? I don't like the fact, and it kind of came to me this week on, it paralleled something. And I thought about this, and okay. Remember, you know, again, the complaints about, oh, Cena was always winning, and, you know, Hunter was always winning, and, you know, these prominent guys were always featured. But you would put the title on Drew McIntyre, you put the title on Sheamus, you'd put the title on Alberto Del Rio, Jinder Mahal, right? They would put the title on these guys, and they couldn't do anything to elevate them, right? So what did they do? They went back to the well, and that's why you kept seeing certain guys over and over as the champions. You put the title on MJF. You put the title on Swerve. Are you increasing your audience? No. Instead of building those guys and sticking with them and giving longevity, you put the titles on Daniel Bryan, John Moxley. Are you increasing your audience? No. Same mistake WWE made. It's safety netting it, thinking you'll increase your audience because you have names who are champions that people identify with. That is the thing that I just don't, I don't like. And like Charmaine says, John Monkey sucks.
He sucks.
So I think we have a new name for him, John Monkey.
But here's the thing with the whole BCC. So what do they have? They have the trio belt, and they have the, you know, and Moxley has a belt.
Right.
Yeah. My thing is this. When you do a faction, the belts have to be prominent. They're not making the belts prominent. These guys should be walking around bragging about it, not hiding the belts in gym bags. That's a big problem, because you should be, the belt is there to signify that you're the best. If you're not doing that and you're just angry for the sake of being angry, that only works for about a week or two. Now you have to start explaining why the fuck you're angry. You know, I get it. You were heels and you became baby faces when Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson had his eye poked out. They were wearing comical shirts of themselves. They became a, you know, a satire, whatever. Now you've got Pac. They never explained why he joins. You need to say that. You need to go, hey, this is why I teamed up with these guys. Yep. It's the way they introduced it was, we just mashed people together. Well, we know the Lucha Brothers are gone. I want the guy to come out there and go, fuck the Lucha Brothers. The Death Triangle is gone. Those guys were weak. This is why I came over here. I needed to be where the best wrestle. These are the, you know, the guys who are the best wrestlers. Marina Shafir is the best wrestler, and we've got it. We've got the gold, and anybody who wants this, we're going to beat the shit out of you. And if you want to throw in a bunch of mismatched trios teams, you can say, look how bad this is. You've got Daniel Garcia teaming up a Private Party because they're so desperate to beat us that Tony Khan will throw anything at us. Oh, and where's the fucking Elite? You know, call them out. Call them out. The first people they should have beat up was the Elite. They should have sought the Elite out and beat them up.
So your problem is this. You are spending too much time on this. And that's obvious because they're not. That's the point. The point is that, again, they're running with something that is half-assed done. And first off,
but you can still fix it. You can fix it in one episode.
You can't make
up for what was.
You can't fix it because you have no one to give it the direction it needs. That's the problem.
Fair enough.
You don't have producers to produce that shit in that direction. You have wrestlers who have control over this stuff and are putting that stuff out. Right. The biggest problem is that you started out first, you kept it BCC. Regal said, I want out of here. You let him go. Why even fucking keep anything associated with
the BCC. Yeah.
Right. Secondly, you make them into these, you know, good guys. Then you have Moxley break, but instead of having something fresh, who joins them? The BCC. It makes no sense. Yuda should have been a target, not a fucking ally.
But here's my thing. The original premise of the Blackpool Combat Club was that Brian Danielson wanted to be a heel, which I could never get behind. He's a shitty heel. He's too much of a baby face. And he wanted to team up with Moxley. Two completely different guys. Personalities don't line up. Claudio Castagnoli works with Moxley, but Brian Danielson never fit. And then you took Wheeler Yuta, who is not over. He's never over. I don't care how long he grows that beard. He still looks like he's 12.
You should shave the fucking beard. You're a heel now. So change your fucking look, dude. Shave the fucking beard.
You know, it was one thing when you were rolling with like the bummy, like fucking, you know, friends and, you know, the best friends. It's like, all right, fine. And you're doing this bummy thing. But even back then, his gimmick was, I'm kind of an asshole and I'm ruining this group. He's like the Yoko Ono of that group. Remember how happy they were before he showed up? He kind of fucked that whole group up. Like, they were good, you know? But that's what his wife says, too. All right. I don't see a purpose for him. Like, if Pac were to go, you know what? Like, I don't mind Pac being in that group. Just explain it to me. Okay, I don't mind Pac.
So let's address one thing right away. Now, if you bring in Shane McMahon, it makes no fucking sense at all.
Right. Exactly.
And it was always my problem with the NWO. As soon as they brought the Giant in and then Scott Norton in, it makes no sense. This was supposed to be an innovation thing. So that would be one thing. And the other thing too, this is very interesting. You kind of said it with the three men, right? But you can see that all these factions are kind of turning into desperation, because you just said it with Steve with
and where's by the way, hold on, let me interrupt. Where's House of Black been? I'm sure somebody's injured. No, but that's my point.
They need a squash on Collision, but they're not using them to the
Brody King just wrestled fucking Darby Allin or whatever fucking in that match.
And then shook
whatever,
his hand.
And that's
They did a fucking Ring of Honor thing and they shook hands. So I'm like,
but you made a point, Steve, with the Cyrus stuff with Callis, right? I looked at that and I'm like, holy shit, was Tony Khan walking backstage and just looking at the fucking catering and going, oh, we need someone on stage now. And because it's just like a fucking thrown together thing. And then you look at the other one that really gets me is like, so now Orange Cassidy is with Kyle O'Reilly and Rocky Romero. And it's like,
and yeah, why Rocky Romero? Because they got rid of,
and your ROH champion.
Yeah.
What? The factions are starting to not make sense. They never had this problem.
And you did, if you forgot Willow Nightingale, because
yeah,
she's
Willow Nightingale. Well, I don't care about her.
Let's be real. That's the gimmick of the conglomeration, is that they are a thrown together faction.
But it becomes a problem all over. Right. That becomes a problem when all the other factions are kind of that same way in that feel. Yep. It would work if it was one faction. Great. That works. And put a fucking mouthpiece with it.
You know what it's like? It's like those little bingo, like the freaking little bingo games. They pull out, okay, we've got Orange Cassidy and all right. And we've got the Ring of Honor champion here, Mark Briscoe. Okay. And then Willow Nightingale. You're going to be quirky and smile. Okay.
Fuck her. Why do you keep bringing her up? Just keep her away. Wow.
Keep her motherfucking
name. I hate her, bro.
I do not like her. I do not like her. And again, you know,
She's selling autographed trunks.
But you talk about they should do something with Perrazzo. They should do something with Taya. That person is getting a push. over those people. Doesn't make sense.
Oh, let's do one thing. For Charmaine, Louis Pauletta, happy birthday. Happy birthday to Charmaine's man. Put that out
there. Happy, happy birthday, Luis.
Yep.
Wait, wait, Rob. Way to look out for that.
Oh, yeah, look out. You forgot to ask me about my what the fuck.
Oh, I thought that was your what the fuck.
No, I just, you just went out piggybacked for 30 on minutes. Yours. Piggybacked on yours. I had a whole completely different thing.
Okay, go ahead and yeah. Fuck. What the?
All right. I think we've hit the wall with Cody Rhodes. Can we say that now? He hit the wall. He came out on Monday, cut a promo. You're cheering for Roman Reigns, and all Cody could say is thank you for the Cody chant. No, that was a Roman Reigns chant. I heard that, and he's getting too full of himself. He really is. He's at the point where he's smelling his own farts. I don't give a shit. He came out in a Donald Trump-looking suit. I just don't care. This is any
asshole who comes out in a Donald Trump looking suit needs to be not paid attention to.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, but he comes out. You know what the funny thing is about all that? This is the exact same gimmick they did in AEW, where he came out in amazing suits, and then Arn Anderson's like, "You're too full of yourself. Nobody cares. You need to get angry. Burn that shit." And what does he do? He goes back to the same tired gimmick that he ran himself out of AEW with.
Remember, it's not him. That's WWE. This is what they want. That's the image they want. This is the champion they want. And that promo that he did was to actually put light on Gunther, because they wanted to make this match somewhat relevant without being your typical SmackDown versus Raw Survivor Series, whatever fucking bullshit match.
I get it. And they're walking around with this gold belt. And then they go, "This is the first time we did this." No, it's not. This is the second time you did that belt, because you already did one from Braun Strowman. You gave him a championship belt. It was under different circumstances, but you gave him.
Rumble.
Right. They gave him a belt with freaking falchions on it, like freaking Middle Eastern swords on it.
This one was guarded by 19 guardsmen, and the women's title was not.
I know. It's because this is like why there's no fucking female Super Saiyans in Dragon Ball Z. You're a woman.
Can't wait to see.
Watch any anime.
How sexy Nia Jax looks in her full covered bodysuit. Oh, wait, she already wears that every day.
Yeah, you don't want to see. And by the way, let's put these women in all leather dominatrix outfits. Like, how many loads are being spilled in Saudi Arabia that night? Like, this isn't less, like, friggin' degrading to women. It's just kind of makes it worse. Let's dress everyone up like Trinity and have them bitch slap each other for 3 hours. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind, but let's, we can't do the t-shirts. That's a little too silly. How about the skin tight leather outfits? Yeah, that's respectful. All right. But I almost forgot one thing. And I apologize to double back. Too sweet. We had whole Motor City Machine Guns on the main roster. That was fucking good. They did a good job. But every time they had a spot, these fucking guys started doing poses. Every fucking time. Oh my God, step up, it's Gary.
Well, that's because the Young Bucks are under contract at the other companies, so they needed their version of the Young Bucks, and they got them.
No, and it's fine, but like every single fucking time they had to do a goddamn fucking pose, and I'm like, all right, we get it. But the thing is, you're starting to look tacky real quick. You're starting to look like dad's favorite tag team real quick, because all these other guys are just wrestling.
They are dad's favorite tag team.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's yeah. So and they're going, wow, these guys, this is the Metamucil League, and these guys have really done some great stuff in TNA.
But they the one thing they did is they sold on who they are, right? The history of them. They put that over without having to do a video package. And I'm sure we're going to get, I'm assuming, a video
package. They'll get the belt eventually. They'll get it. They'll get the straps. One last what the fuck. They had Candice LeRae fill in for Tiffany Stratton, and she gets a pin. That pin is going down the toilet so goddamn fast, okay? That was the most pointless pin in the last few weeks. But she's a great talent, and she's worth it, and they deserve to give her time. She's a jobber.
She's the speed champion. She's the first women's speed champion. So that's why she got exactly.
I know.
But that's the only reason she got the pin and got the exposure, is to get some eyes on what that is. But yet they did not let her carry the belt out there.
Yeah. So again, if your job was to promote that, you didn't. So what the fuck? There you go. Now we can.
Yeah, well, go ahead and give us your look out there, since we've already rolled
it. Real quick on that. I called it and it happened. You guys said the four people for the old, for the original bloodline, and you were going to put, you guys were saying that Cody was going to be in it. I said, no way in hell. It's going to be Jimmy. And sure enough, they're doing the long form, but it's going to be Jimmy, Jay, Roman, and The Rock. That's it. Those are your four guys.
I don't think you see The Rock in it.
He did the 1, 2, 3, 4. When they came out at the end, he counted the four. That's what it's going to be. He's going to come out. He's going to put the Ulafala on Roman Reigns. It's going to be The Rock. The only thing that could be a shocker to me is if The Rock goes, you know what? I just saved your ass. I should be the tribal chief. If you really want to get down to it, I'm the one signing your checks. So everything goes up to me anyway. Let's be real. That would be a good fucking swerve. But it's going to be The Rock. He said it at the end. He counted the four left. You know, if he had done a three count, that would have been one symbolism. But he did four. That's what it's going to be.
If the Hollywood allows The Rock to do a War Games match, if the insurance companies are like, no, go ahead and do that, then you'll have The Rock. But I
understand where you're coming from, but they teased it.
Save him for WrestleMania, right? Because you downgrade it by using him. I think what you're going to see, again, remember, you still have these options floating on what exactly they're going to do. We haven't seen the giant show up yet.
Tala Tonga.
And that could be in the back pocket.
I would imagine the way I'm envisioning is it's going to be The Rock on their team. You're going to find out The Rock joins up. You think it's in the bag, simple win. And then Tala Tonga shows up and they're going to go, oh my God, it's Tala Tonga, Hikaleo, blah, blah, blah. Cause Michael Cole's got diarrhea mouth. He'll say something stupid. He always fucking does. Things are about to get broken. God damn you. I hate you, Michael Cole. I fucking hate you. At least Corey Graves knows when to shut his mouth. Damn it, Michael Cole. Just get out of here already. Why can't you have like a stroke like Jim Ross and just show up once in a while? You know, just have him drag his ass out once a year because he's got diarrhea of the mouth. It's like you bury the lead every fucking time.
Yeah, well. Too bad he's probably the best broadcaster.
And that's sad. That's sad.
Way better than Jim Ross ever was.
Oh,
absolutely. Go back and listen to Ross. Ross is fucking horrible.
Jim Ross.
Go watch some Raw from,
1999 Raw, where somebody's finishing every Monday night screaming at the top of his lungs, and I've got the hair on end, versus good night, everybody.
Yeah, and then go watch WCW where Shivani's doing the exact same thing.
No, but Shivani sucks. Shivani needs to be in the back locker room.
No. I'm talking about 99. they were doing the exact same thing on both shows. Both announcers were just screaming at the end over Bart all the Ross noise was that was being created.
One of the best commentaries was Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker, where Ross is screaming, "Climb, kid, climb." That shit is legendary. Oh, my God. This guy's my witness. He's broken in half. They're not quoting fucking Michael Cole. They don't, because he's boring. I don't care how great he is. He calls himself a fucking news. What does he call himself? A journalist or some shit?
Broadcast journalist.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here. You suck. You suck. Your whole gimmick was The Rock would kick the shit out of you. That was your gimmick. And then you kind of just fell into the role and they kept your ass there because there was nobody better. He royally blows. Every time he opens his yap, I get fucking angry. You want to throw something at the screen. You pair him with Corey Graves and it's an episode of the boring and the even more boring. Those two guys fucking blow. But then you got in some guy.
We don't have any lawns out here, old man. So you can't keep telling us to get off of them.
No, but then they grabbed some guy from college sports and he was kind of weird. And then I ended up liking him and he made Michael Cole interesting. They actually had to find somebody, and he only shows up half the year. Pat McAfee makes Michael Cole fucking interesting, because without McAfee, Cole sucks balls. John Tessitore, whatever that guy's fucking name is, terrible. Not horrible. I shouldn't say terrible, because that's Michael Cole level.
I'm sorry. Have you listened to Excalibur? Enough said.
Excalibur is
horrible.
Excalibur wants to be Jim Ross, and
Excalibur is simply a Young Bucks fucking buddy. You might as well just give him a camcorder and fucking have him hang out back just like the other fucking Cutler kid.
He's mediocre. My favorite guys on there are Nigel McGuinness. He's great. Love Nigel McGuinness as that heel commentator. He does such a good job. Ian Riccaboni. Even though he's really just Ring of Honor, Ian Riccaboni, if you want to have that straight guy, he's good. Taz is good. And you know who is good? And they need to bring him out more as a commentator. Jericho was good. He was entertaining.
They won't, because they won't want to do it.
But he was good. He was good when he did it. He was stammering a bit, but he was good.
All right. Steve, what are you looking out for? We know what Rob's been looking out for and what he's giving a fuck about now. What are you looking at?
We can tell that that Rob's looking out for all of the announcers in the business. So anyway,
he's looking for the corpse of Gordon Soley to come back and save wrestling.
Go dig him up. You know, in AEW, they actually had a successful eliminator match for once. You know, these things, when they happen, it's newsworthy. Anna Jay, fresh off of her excursion to stardom, which she made great strides, according to numerous people in AEW and people that watched the stardom show specifically. She actually pinned Mariah May in the main event of Battle of the Belts. Yes. By the way, there was a Battle of the Belts this weekend, too.
I didn't even know that.
Maybe 200,000 people caught it. But anyway, notice how that was not included in the TV rights deal, by the way. So we're losing Rampage and we're losing Battle of the Belts to absolutely no one's surprise, thankfully. Anna Jay earned a Women's World title match, which will take place on an episode of Collision in 2 weeks. I like the fact that they are doing things like this and actually having these eliminator matches yield new championship matches. Because for so long, we've said, oh, well, why even have an eliminator match? It's basically a glorified squash and nobody ever wins. None of the challengers ever upset the champions. This is a way of doing this shit the right way. And you're building around, you're building up Anna Jay, which is somebody who is very young. She's very attractive. And honestly, she's a homegrown star for AEW. So if she's made the strides that people are saying that she's made, I can't wait to see what she does in the ring going forward. Also, the build is on for Full Gear. We'll see what happens with matches. And yes, they've dubbed the night before Halloween episode of Dynamite into Fright Night Dynamite. So for those of us that love the quirky names for the shows, yeah, they're choosing to call the episode from Cleveland, of all places, Fright Night Dynamite.
So are they going to have a pumpkin patch match?
I guarantee that they fucking will. Someone is going to get a pumpkin put over their head and probably beaten to hell. It's going to be all of the quirkiness from 2019 WWE all over again. God help us. But in any event, speaking of WWE, WrestleMania tickets go on sale this week. So I can only imagine what fucking pricing is going to look like.
Oh, God.
My wallet is braced and prepared for the pain that it is about to endure.
Are you doing God, both those, nights those, or just one of the nights?
I'm going to get a combo package for sure.
I just want to do night two.
I think they're going to make something newsworthy on night one as well. I mean, they have to. They have to start making night one actually mean something.
Sure.
Because if they backload the show and make night two the only night that really matters, that's a problem. And
here's my question, and this is for all of our viewers watching. How do you know what seats to pick? Is there going to be a map in advance? Because is it calling or is it going online?
Online
calling.
Ticketmaster.
90s call, bro.
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Ticket. Dude. So Ticketmaster. Okay. Moment. I had a brain fart.
No, dude. No, it's all on the app. You can go in there website. And generally speaking, they have the interactive ticket map. So you can actually more often than not actually pick your exact seat location. Okay. So, and quite frankly, for the, $1,000+ that it's going to end up being for lower level bowl for both nights. Yeah. At least we'll be able to pick our seats.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. Yeah.
Rob,
forward to that.
Rob, you can go to Sound Warehouse and wait outside the front doors at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know why I had that idea. I don't know where
Go to fucking Sam Goody, bro.
Yeah. And, what's very interesting is, you said this back when AEW was in town, Steve, and this is, I think, what we all agreed upon. There was occasionally a billboard, or you saw, you might have saw something like on T-Mobile's sign. Every part of town, I'm talking North Vegas, fucking South, East, everywhere that had a city-run billboard had a fucking promo that was showing that tickets were going on sale this weekend. So, that's how you promote.
Yeah, pretty exactly. Simple. Please take notes, Tony. It shouldn't be brain surgery, but
all of the Blackpool Combat guys and their wife beaters and their freaking white tank tops.
Hey man, why they gotta be the Blackpool Combat Club that do the wife beating?
Yeah,
Oh god. Oh god.
I got nothing. I got nothing. And I do racist Trump jokes for a living.
I'm not saying a fucking word.
I just did some of the worst fucking racist. And I was in Ely, Nevada this weekend. All these guys in cowboy boots on the floor dying, like tears streaming out of their face. And I can't repeat the jokes, but it was unintentional. But the way it sounded, we'll just say it was pretty bad. And the other two people on the ticket were black. And they were just, they didn't want to laugh, but the one guy is super, he paused, he looked at me, he looked around at all these white people with cowboy hats laughing, and then he started laughing, and then the black woman just went, "What is going on here?" So, yeah. And these guys know the joke. You want to hear the joke, we'll cut to the chase Tuesday. I'm going to be at Tequila Little Time. Should be about 8 o'clock, doing a show where I'm going to be actually reprising my LA Comedy Club roast of Kamala Harris. Jody, who plays Kamala Harris. I think her name is Jody Kialana. She's Hawaiian. She looks like Kamala Harris, and we will be roasting each other again on Tuesday. And that went over really. We were the best show on LA Comedy Club. She was really, really funny, and it's going to be a great show.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I've actually got three shows this week. That one, Tuesday night, will be at the Art House around 8, and to be determined, I was supposed to be in Pahrump at 7 or 8 at Mexican Grub. That show might have been canceled. I don't know yet. I'm in talks with the producer because he wants to book me after the election's over. And I said, no, I'm a Trump impersonator. After the election's over is too fucking late, because if God forbid that guy loses, I'm going to go walk into Pahrump. Bunch of guy with cowboy boots going, it was a stolen. Oh, fuck. Fuck. Get out with a beer bottle. What the fuck?
No, but you see, so, you got it, Taylor. Steve, I think I know what you're going to say.
So I got to ask, dude, have you already gone to like Spirit Halloween, or have you reached out to anybody that you might know that would happen to have a spare McDonald's uniform? Because
spare me.
Yes, because today in Pennsylvania, the 45th president of the United States worked in a McDonald's drive-thru for 15 minutes longer than other people.
He was doing that to troll Kamala because she said she worked at McDonald's. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's going to be, dude, I would recommend getting a fucking McDonald's uniform and putting it into the act.
Well, the thing is, he wore an apron. He wore a McDonald's. You know what? Yeah, you just reminded me. I saw that today. I saw him putting salt on the fries, and I'm thinking, these things have enough cholesterol as is, but when Trump made it, I'm certain that it had more salt. I can't prove it, but I'm certain he shook that thing like it was Barron Trump when he was born. Like, you know,
it had more salt because his fucking sweat was dripping into the goddamn fries. You know?
That's what we call seasoning, okay? Oh boy, that's adobo. Oh boy. Oh man. But yeah, I still don't know about that McDonald's thing, because I remember Howard Stern asked her about it and she was very vague. Mm. And she goes, oh yeah, I did that one summer. Yep.
Yeah. Well, at least she had a job. Fuckers never had a job. So
no, he was the president. He was the president. That's a job.
Kamala is known for her jobs.
Yeah. Well, so one of the jokes, and I guess I'll tell you here, the joke that won me the contest at LA Comedy Club was a tied. The judges. It's called WrestleMania. The second one had Rob Van Dam as a judge. And WrestleMania is four comics judge your jokes. And we went to a tiebreaker. And I said, you know what? I don't know who's more senile, you or Joe Biden. At least he knows he's white. You don't know if you're black, brown, white, Mexican. Next week, you're going to have hoop earrings and say you're J-Lo. And that's
pretty
what
much.
One. So we're going back, and I've got all new stuff. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to have to come out with a McDonald's apron now.
I'm telling you, bro.
It's amazing, Rob. In comedy, I find when you personalize it from your own experience, it comes out the funniest.
Yeah.
Is that true? Is that true with you? I mean, you're white, you're black. I think you were Hispanic 1 week. I think you were also Polynesian.
And God forbid whatever nationality he is when he does the Mike Bailey impersonations.
Oh. I need a mullet now. In fact, the funny thing is I have a decent Mike Bailey wig, and I can just go, hey, Renee, I'm going to be part of the AEW lineup, and we're going to win real big, you know? I'm going to show them what this X division's all about.
God, you look like Hong Kong Fooey.
That's all I see when I look at this guy. I look at him, and I think, wait, is he like the Power Ranger? Like, you know, he looks like... He looks like both the freaking real Asian Power Ranger and the white one at the same time. Like, I don't know how it's possible to look like the actual stunt double and the actor at the same time with that fucking 90s mullet. Like, all he needs now is parachute pants, and I guarantee he has parachute pants.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee goddamn he has parachute pants and fucking feelers.
Well, speaking of Mike Bailey, I am looking forward to Bound for Glory on the 26th, where Mike Bailey will be defending the X Division title against Vikingo.
That's going to
be a fucking great match.
Out of nowhere, that was a great match. So that should be fucking amazing. We're going to get this.
My A game.
This week we're going to get on Impact. We're getting Chris Bay and Ace Austin teaming with the Hardy Boys. But then at Bound for Glory, those guys are going to be involved in Full Metal Mayhem, which the Hardys are saying in a promo backstage with Bay and Ace. But this looks like this will be their last time doing a table ladders chairs match. In which Matt starts saying, yeah, this is probably going to be the last time we do tables, ladders. And Jeff goes, you mean Full Metal Mayhem? That was great. Awesome. So, you know,
you don't want your guys doing TLC matches when they're getting like ads from AARP delivered to their home.
Hey, man, you know, the one thing that they're doing that is incredibly smart is that the Hardys right now are doing something the Young Bucks should be doing. And that is they're looking at that younger tag team and they're going, guess over. What? You guys are the fucking future. And they have been nothing but fucking courteous to both those guys, which is crazy. When you look at, you know, I know how fucking amped Chris was, you know, working with these guys. It's just like, here's my heroes, my childhood fucking hero, Jeff Hardy. You know? And here they are fucking, they're giving us this fucking door into, hey, you guys are that good. We believe in you guys. Here you go. And if the Bucks ever fucking learned that and got over their goddamn egos.
The AEW tag team belts have dust on them.
Well, yeah, because that's all they shoot out now because they're not the Young Bucks anymore.
They're the fucking old Bucks.
Yeah, well,
like, seriously, how much longer are they going to continue calling themselves the Young Bucks? I mean, that name in itself has a shelf life.
Well, Nick Jackson looks relatively the same, minus the balding spots. But Matt Jackson, you know they've got those vests on because Matt Jackson has got that fucking gut. And I'm like, and every once in a while the vest pops up and Nick Jackson's fine. Matt Jackson, on the other hand, has got like the Homer Simpson belly growing there, you know?
Well, you know, the tree doesn't fall far from the Papa Buck. Best in show, Rob.
SmackDown. SmackDown, Lash Legend beating actually Niven. That was great. We're building up the Bloodline story. Roman Reigns is getting more time and he's becoming human. He's actually showing some recompense for what he did. The storyline with Jimmy's showing up and they're playing it well. They're tugging on everyone's heartstrings. Every time you think they're out, they keep pulling it back in with the Bloodline.
Yep.
So,
Steve?
Well, you know, AEW Dynamite.
We're going to recall, Steve, we're going to rename this segment 83 Weeks. Because basically, for 83 straight weeks, you have named Dynamite the best in show.
You know what we're going to do from now on? We're just going to pre-record the end of the show, and I'm going to go, I'm going to be performing like I've never performed before. And then you're going to say AEW Dynamite, Rep Sports, thank you. And for all of those served. Yep. And then you're going to say something filthy like, yeah, I served all right. Yeah, I served her good. And then Daryl just go, oh, my God. And that'll be it. We can just record that ending. It's the same ending.
pretty much.
Same ending. I think we could record the next 17 weeks of episodes right now and basically pretty much come close to being right about everything that's going to happen. And just put it basically. In the tank.
Hey, wait, basically you're saying we're using AEW's writers for the show.
Essentially. Well, Jimmy Jacobs is available. I'll give him a call.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so realistically though, yes, despite AEW Dynamite being my chosen pick or whatever, I definitely want to give a shout out to Scott DeMore and everybody behind Maple Leaf Wrestling.
Yeah.
Yes, they're Jinder doing their Mahal. Thing, man. Ultimately they have they've done shows on Saturday and on Sunday of this week, and both shows have drawn rave reviews so far. And I love that they are actually getting people involved from other promotions. They ran, you know, bumper ads on AEW TV advertising for the show. They had Konosuke Takeshita defending the International Championship against Mike Bailey. That was on night one. Night two, Ricochet, of all people, showed up and attacked Takeshita, thus furthering their AEW storyline. I really want Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling to succeed. And it's good that, if nothing else, Tony is lending him some wrestlers to help fill up the roster for the first few shows. But yeah, Scott D'Amore is a great creative mind. Thankfully, he's landing on his feet, and I just hope that this new promotion and venture does extremely well.
And we did mention the state of NXT earlier. We think they're doing a great job. Their partnership with TNA, the possibility of a cross promotional tag team championship is looking amazing. They're utilizing the talent well on both ends. And keep in mind, a lot of that NXT talent does make it to the main roster and then gets to come back again. So you get to build up a lot. I mean, they do that with Trick Williams. They'll put him on SmackDown. They'll show him with the belt. Jakara Jackson, Lash Legend are doing some great work. They did wonderful stuff with Joe Hendry, Wesley, and the matches he's having. Just really some great stuff there. And that's coming from me.
Right. That's my best of the week is NXT, actually.
NXTNA.
Yeah, NXTNA. The thing that you're starting to see with NXT that is very obvious is when you have a sprinkle of talent like Ethan Page, here's a guy who's...
Minus karate. Man.
Well, he's a veteran, right? He's a veteran. He's a guy who's been around for a while and now is getting a chance to be elevated, right? Probably main roster within the next year or so, I would assume, right? Trick Williams is going to be the same thing. He's going to be main roster, before you know it. Trick has the potential of being the face of the company on one of the brands. Carmelo is showing what you can do by developing someone and then bring him over.
He needs to work on his mic work a little bit. He needs to get beyond the catchphrases and start to sell himself on the mic. But well, the in-ring stuff is there.
But they're also you have to take it a little step by step because Carmelo has great mic skills. However, if you let him do too much, he's going to end up burying himself. Right? People are going to get sick of it right away. You got to sprinkle it a little. Another thing with him is that he's made Andrade better. Okay. Yeah. This whole feud, Andrade, Carmelo, both NXT guys, with the special referee for match number 7 in LA Knight, NXT guy.
Yeah.
What you're starting to see is exactly what Paul Levesque envisioned NXT to be, what Dusty Rhodes envisioned NXT to be. And that was the breeding ground for these guys to learn not to become so popular that the fan, no, so that when you move up, wherever you're placed, you can shine and elevate that performance. Vince never fucking understood it. Never.
Yeah. Here's a question.
Karrion Kross is, you're starting to fucking finally go, oh,
finally,
that's what this guy is.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
One last question before we go. Do you ever connect the dots on Charlotte Flair and Andrade, or you just leave them separate entities? If she should come back. Do you put her in his corner and really strap a rocket to him?
No.
Personally. Power couple them or anything like that?
No. Unless the only way you do it is you bring Rick into the fold somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if honestly, if there was another fold to that, another Andrade or Flair that you could bring in, then you kind of have that bloodline type mix thing. But not right now. It's going to be hard enough for Charlotte to work back into this mix. I saw something online that I thought was hysterical about someone complaining about how these women in WWE are just being so misused. And it's like, there is no fathomable way that you can argue that what they're doing with the women's division is anyway misuse. The only problem is that they don't have enough TV time
right.
for all the fucking talent they have.
Yeah.
But they did need to cut Monday down to 2 hours because they were misusing that time.
Monday's going back to 3 when it's on Netflix. And SmackDown is going to go to 3 for at least a period of time.
Yeah.
And the thing is that you can say what you want about it, but it goes simply like this. It's a winning thing for advertising, right? I got a feeling before AEW's contract is up, they extend to 3. They're starting to do their overruns around 15 minutes now. That's a good sign that the advertising is there enough for the network to justify, hey, why don't you guys give us a little bit more? And that's why you see 3 hours. Netflix is going to be interesting because this is a new fucking thing they're inventing, essentially, in terms of, are we going to, you know, how much commercial are we going to see with the commercial subscription? It's going to be very interesting, but the third hour, essentially, what it gives us.
Netflix better be unedited. None of this whole.
It needs to be.
It will
yeah,
be.
I think,
it,
I think
it will be.
Yeah.
It will be because it's Netflix.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, first off, again, we don't have lawns here, Rob, so we can't get off of them. The fact of the matter is again, we view shit through the perspective of people who are adults. Again,
I view it through the perspective of, again, I was spoiled by the late 90s, early 2000s, where USA meant that you had freedom. This was yep. cable. The idea was,
you are imagining.
No. When I was in 1990s to the early 2000s, if they're screaming asshole, you heard that. There was none of this bleeping out the entire audience. And now I lose a minute of sound because now the kids can't hear bad words.
Right.
Or I don't give a shit.
And the whole thing was, is that at that point, the competition was for that coveted 18 to 49 year olds, right? Both companies were fighting over that.
And now they're fighting for a younger, whatever. You can, I'm that audience now. This is why, again, like, and I was talking about a Michael Cole.
But Rob, like, you don't have kids.
Okay. If I had a kid, okay, I don't give a crap if the kid hears an audience screaming asshole, because if I'm going to be a father, take him to the show. What am I going to do? Put fucking earmuffs on the kid when the audience starts getting into it? It's right. the show. It's a show about people beating the shit out of each other because they had a bad day, or right. they're fighting over a golden belt. Who gives a crap if they said asshole? That's the least of what's right. wrong.
So when you're getting called into school because your kid is calling someone an asshole over and over.
My kid's going to be calling somebody an asshole because somebody cut me off on the highway. All right. There's a million and one bad influences out there. Again, one guy beating up another guy.
I forgot. We're talking to a New Yorker. I forgot. Everything's just.
No, but think about it. The whole point of the show, this is like saying this was like Walking Dead. They wouldn't have cursing on The Walking Dead, but the whole point of Walking Dead is we're raping and killing and punching and beating and fighting zombies. But we can't have cursing because that sets a bad example. We took an Asian guy's head and exploded it like a fucking melon. But we can't have cursing because that's bad.
And we never found out who was mowing the fucking grass. For all those fucking seasons of The Walking Dead. Grass was perfectly mowed. Everything was perfect.
I don't know. Ow. When I see mowing grass, I definitely need to.
That's because we had walking Mexican day workers on temporary walking visas. And because they were undead, I got them at a tremendous deal, even cheaper than normal. It was one of the great Art of the Walking Dead deal. That's what I am. The Art of the Walking Dead deal.
All right. Well, we already know what Rob's final thoughts were, as he gave them 3 segments ago. So, Steve, what do you have to say? And I'm pretty sure we know what it is because
exactly. If you know the words at home, sing along. Thank you guys for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com, use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
You can also go to REPP.com if you've had an instance in which your PP has been severed. I'm sure that they can help you out.
Or if you're having jerky deficiencies.
Well, absolutely. And that would only come if your alien who was probing you at night severed the wrong connection and instead of doing the anal probe, did the reverse PP.
All right.
And thus you need the white fuzzy slippers for the comfort. Understandable.
Exactly.
I want to know, did all of this involve teriyaki sauce?
Oh, by the gallon.
Okay. I like sweet and sour too.
I don't know. Mr. Bailey.
Oh, hello. Speaking of sweet and sour sauce and teriyaki, your teriyaki X Division champion is going to win real soon and defend the X Division title. Yeah.
I'm going to call Ross and I'm going to get Mike on. An interview, and when I get Mike to do the interview, you're coming on, Rob, and you are doing Mike Bailey for.
Oh, I already know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is you're not going to tell me. I'm going to do this horribly racist interview, and then I'm going to get spinning heel kicked through the fucking computer screen.
No,
I can only hope. I can only fucking hope.
And this guy is going to like just destroy my ass at a house show in fucking Samstown.
I'll tell you right now. First off, there's a house show in Samstown. Holy shit, something has gone horribly wrong for TNA. and second of all, seriously, if I get Mike on, you'll know because it will be a planned time. And, hopefully your work schedule would coincide. And Mike is an incredible person, and he would fucking get a kick out of that shit.
He would get a kick out of my hunk.
Hong Kong Fooey.
I mean, the only thing I could think is just to like dress him up like Raiden, you know? I mean, at this point, like, I'd love to see him come in the ring and just go.
Oh, what about Raiden?
No. But your president of presidents made the French fries. We made the French fries. And quite honestly, the CEO of McDonald's, Mr. McDonald's, Mr. McD, said it was the very best French fries, quite honestly, that anyone's ever made before.
Wow.
I'm sure it was. And by the way, FCW, Stone Cold. In the YouTube chat, if you wanted to put the message up there, we had one last second question that was asked. Favorite wrestler of all time?
The Rock. The Rock is my favorite.
FCW is Figure Championship Wrestling. Does
go check them out as well.
Yeah, check them out.
Check them out. Subscribe. Like. Yeah.
Randy Orton is their favorite, mine, of course, because I go way back with him, is Mr. Cena. That is pretty simple right there in terms of none of us had to think about it.
No.
Then all of a sudden I got very Trumpy myself. I guess I shouldn't have had those McDonald's fries today. Oh boy. The sweat seeps in and then it just starts taking you over.
Jesus.
Who is that supposed to be?
I'm going to build a wall.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's not even close. You did your Vince McMahon. No.
It seeps into you. I'm not impersonating. I'm being taken over. Okay. It's kind of like the invasion of the body snatchers.
Oh, okay. First of all, I invade bodies. I've invaded so many bodies, okay? People tell me all the time, Donald, you've invaded billions and billions of bodies all across America. For America, thank you. You're welcome.
There you go. Grab them. So many women,
they said, thank you, Donald, for making my French fries great again.
Grab them by the Big Mac? What?
By the way, chicken Big Mac is a thing now.
Yes.
And it's good. It's good.
Yeah. Who would have thought, if you want a cheaper route, just order two chicken sandwich fillets with the Big Mac sauce on it. Put them together. There you go.
Well, when they had a dollar menu, see, if Donald Trump comes in and by the end of the first week, the dollar menu is not a thing again. Sorry. We're going to have a problem. He promised me cheaper food. I want a dollar menu. He should have promised that. In fact, that McDonald's should have had the dollar menu. I would have immediately early cast a ballot for him. Wait a minute. I went to that McDonald's that Donald Trump was at, and they had a dollar menu and a steak, egg, and cheese muffin. Fuck it. All right, Donald. You did it. You did it. You got my vote. Oh, there's a nuclear war? Don't care. Global warming? Don't care. You give me a dollar menu and a steak, egg, and cheese bagel? We're good. I'll vote for you. That's how you get my vote, Donald.
Fucking New Yorker. You need that fucking bagel in the morning, don't you?
Goddamn right.
Of course he does. Great.
God. DJ, get back here. Stop jerking it. Okay. Till next week.
Fucking gotta love that Jewish loaf of bread. It's the best.
Why it gotta be a Jewish loaf of bread?
Oh, Eva.
They're the ones who made it.
On that note, happy wrestling, everybody.